This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Psalm 95 verses 1 to 2 says, "Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." I love the Psalms. They are so honest. And so often we read the encouragement to sing worship to God, to make a joyful noise to him. In Revelation, we read about everyone gathering around Jesus' throne, singing never-ending praises to him. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." What a picture. Imagine yourself standing there, gathered with all the saints, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It's amazing. Our beautiful Bible tells us to sing together so often. It's the way we were designed to be. It's what we're designed to do. God has designed our bodies in a way that means that we love singing. Oxytocin is released, a chemical. It's released in us when we sing. We enjoy singing. We're designed to do it. So it is really hard to not sing together and to be together in this wonderful building and singing on a Sunday, singing our worship. So for now, we all find ourselves worshipping in a slightly different way. Online learning to sing along with someone on screen or on our own, or finding non-musical ways to worship, using prayer maybe to speak our worship out. And this is costly to us. We're having to find new and creative ways to worship Jesus. Yeah, I personally have not really enjoyed this journey. I've not found my own intentional times of worship easy. I really miss being in this building. I miss singing together. I miss it. I miss physically being in the same room and being encouraged by those around me to push into worship, to give him all the glory. But do you know what? It's been a helpful reminder that worship is not about my preferences or how I feel in any given moment. I've not enjoyed leading worship to a laptop and just trusting that people are joining in. But do you know what? It's not about my enjoyment, is it? It's not been easy or comfortable. It's not been fun. But it's been a privilege to have the opportunity to offer that cost, that gift of worship to God in those times. This is how we find ourselves. We're not going to let it stop us from worshiping Jesus. So on my own, during the week, I have tried to be really intentional about incorporating more worship into my own time. So sitting down at the piano and singing songs to God, which are aside from just practicing or songwriting. I've been going through the Psalms really slowly and praying my worship to God, or writing out my thanksgiving. I find that really helpful, actually, just physically writing down my thanksgiving in a journal, reminding myself of all the amazing blessings he has put in my life, which I so easily miss in the craziness of my day to day. But it hasn't been easy, and it's been a choice. But what really helps is that when I enter into his presence, when I enter into worship, it reminds me again of who he is. And do you know what? There's no better place. Worship is for him. But do you know what? In those times of worship, he graciously loves to pour out his love. He reminds me of who I am, and he reminds me of who he is. He reminds me of all that he has done for me by sending Jesus, by sending his son to die on a cross for me. I'm reminded, I love this bit in Colossians, I'm reminded that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, that in him all things are created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And there's no other place than in worship that I'm reminded of that truth. There is no other place that restores my vision of who Jesus is, of who I am serving, than in worship. And there's no better place to be than in his presence. So this morning, I'd love to chat with you about worship, looking at the approach to worship that we see by King David, who is described in the Old Testament as a man after God's own heart. And he refuses to offer God any worship that costs him nothing. Interesting. And then I'd love to share some stories from some friends about how they have chosen to spend time in worship this year. It's been great hearing from Billy this morning. So I'd love to give you the opportunity to hear from a couple more people as well. So worship is a heart posture, a surrender to Jesus with our entire lives. We can express that through the way we treat other people, through the way that we've been discussing recently about how we're involved in justice issues. But today, more specifically, I am going to be looking more about our own devotional times with Jesus or in our gathered settings, about those times where we consciously choose to enter into worship and spend time with him in that way. Carol Wimber describes worship as being the act of freely giving love to God. The act of freely giving love to God. Our gift to God. Alexander Venter describes worship as our only adequate response to seeing Jesus for who he is. He goes on to say that the human response to God's self-revelation in his Son, King Jesus, is to surrender our will and crown him as king. We were created to worship, and this is what we do as we follow him. So let's turn to 2 Samuel 24, verses 20 to 25 in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel was suffering from a plague in response to David's sin, and David is devastated by this. So he prays a prayer of repentance and decides to build an altar so he can sacrifice a burnt offering to God. And we enter this story as David approaches Araunah. I don't really know how that's pronounced, but for today I'm going to pronounce that Araunah. So as David approaches Araunah, who owns the land that David wants to build on. So when Araunah looked and saw the king and his officials coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" "To buy your threshing floor," David answered, "so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped." Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. Your majesty, Araunah gives all this to the king." Araunah also said to him, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." I'll just read that last sentence again. The king replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. So Araunah offered David his land for free. Sounds great, doesn't it? But not to David. He declared, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. But why not? What difference did it make? I guess that David knew that an offering can only be a true offering if it's something that costs the giver. Otherwise, it's just an empty ritual, relying on someone else to pay the cost. David would not accept using someone else's land or offering. He wanted to make an offering from himself to God. There is a challenge for us in this story. How are we going to offer God worship that is from us, a giving of ourselves to God, and therefore costs us during this pandemic? And I wonder if this story also helps us to be free from the idea that we sometimes fall into, that a time of worship is judged purely on how we feel or how much we enjoyed it. I'd love to sit around a table and share a meal with you guys. I'd love to spend time just chatting about how you're finding worship at the moment. I'd love to hear your thoughts and hear the stories about how you have encountered Jesus in worship, how you've chosen to worship him over this last year. So we do have the opportunity in this uncomfortable and difficult time to offer God a sacrifice of worship that costs us. It is precisely in these times when we choose to enter into worship, when our moods might not want to, when our emotions don't match with our belief in Jesus, when it's hard because we're not gathered together, that we have the privilege of offering him a sacrifice of worship that we don't at other times get to offer him. So let's hear from a couple of people about their journey following and worshipping Jesus this year.
So, Billy, how have you been worshipping over this last year?
Well, in a traditional way, I suppose, I've been joining in with weekly worship online on a Sunday, what we're all doing now, but also involved in worshiping and leading worship in my house group, and also leading worship through another small group called Prayer Room. At the start of lockdown, when the schools first closed, the curriculum had quite a lot of leeway to it. So we actually also, in my family, had like a school assembly every morning, and we'd sing a song as part of that. So that was fun.
That sounds fun. And so what has God been showing you during these times of worship?
Well, I think I've discovered more that I am someone who finds it really easy to connect with God through worship. In particular, on a Sunday morning when we're all here together and, the air is just ringing with our praise. Obviously, things aren't quite like that at the moment. So what I've learned, though, is that God is available to me in all sorts of other ways. And, worship doesn't have to take that form. Personal worship, worship online, it might not feel the same. It might feel a struggle, but it's still a great way of connecting with God.
And is there anything that you could say to encourage people who are watching this at home in their worship life?
Well, I hope so. The things I've found useful are, listening to worship songs. There are plenty out there on the internet, including our own series of songs. We've done a thing during lockdown called Song of the Week, where lots of members of our church family have chosen a song that's really blessed them or helped them during this time. And I think that could be a really good place to start.
And are there any other specific practices that you've been employing during your time of worship?
Yeah, well, for me, I think getting myself into the right place with God, what we think of as the kind of right heart posture. So keeping up my prayer life, trying to keep up my Bible reading after we read the whole Bible as a church together a few years ago. But also spending time in his presence in, I guess, a more meditative way, which I've not really done before. Reflection and ways of reading the Bible. You can find out more on our website about what we call Lectio Divina. But also spending time in his presence outside, enjoying his wonderful creation. And I find that those practices then just lead naturally into worship, you know, particularly worship by myself as I'm, you know, singing his praises all the time.
Hi, so I'm on break time at school at the moment, so forgive the loud noises outside if you hear children playing around. I want to tell you about what I've learned in worship this year. Once you strip away all the guitars, all the band, all the loud noise, I've just been left with me. And I haven't got Helen's beautiful singing voice, and I don't want to sing on my own. So I've been worshiping God, speaking back to him who he is. And it's been staggering, actually, just really, really beautiful. So to explain what I mean a bit, when I was little, my gran said to me, you don't take the Lord's name in vain, Kate. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. If ever we heard anybody swearing or saying, for God's sake, or Jesus, or something like that, she would always say, don't take the Lord's name in vain. But Dallas Willard says something really special about that. He says this, God's name is a reflection of his nature. And so to use it in vain is to say something about his character that's not true. So I've just been speaking back to God about his name. So I'll be walking along, worshiping him, saying, you are Jehovah Rapha, you are the healer, you are the one who heals, you restore, you're Elohim, you create conversation, you create this beautiful surroundings that I'm walking through. You create my family, you create all the precious things that are happening in this day. So I've learned, I suppose, to use his name, what he says about himself, and turning it back into worship. And the one that's been really special to me is when his name is Adonai. So I can say, thank you that you see me. You are the God who sees me. And I just worship you because you see everything that's going on. Nothing is hidden from your sight. So I guess that's what I've learned, to speak worship and to reflect back to God his character and his beautiful nature.
One of the things that I am learning or revisiting in regards to worship is my body as a temple, myself as a living sacrifice. For too long, too much of my attention has been on this small part, my vocal cords. And especially as a worship leader, worship has been so much about singing, but actually this has been a brilliant opportunity to consider and to notice what the rest of me, the rest of my body, the rest of my being, is any of that worship? How could it be worship? And what would it take for more of me to be engaged in more worship?
It's great to hear their journeys, isn't it? So what are your reactions to that? What does it mean for you to engage more than just your vocal cords in worship? Or might you try looking up the different names of God and speaking them out to him in worship? So this morning we've looked at the example of King David and how he refused to offer God worship that didn't cost him anything. And we've heard from Billy, we've heard from Kate and Harmony about how they've chosen to spend time in worship. So really simply, let's keep going, guys. Let's keep following Jesus. Part of following him, part of what that means is to spend time in worship. Let's worship together online when it might not be what we choose, or we might have loads of distractions around us, but let's choose to engage in those times of worship. It might mean just standing up or just making sure you're in a place where you might not get disturbed, or you just give your kids musical instruments to join in as well. Who knows? So let's keep joining in those gathered times. Let's keep pursuing worship in our own times as well, during the week. Let's remember that psalm that says, that's how we enter his courts. It's with thanksgiving and praise. Let's sing and pray our worship to him, even when it's uncomfortable and costly to us. So let's finish by returning to Psalm 95. And I'd love to do this as an act of worship together. So I'd encourage you, if you're at home, why don't you stand up? Or, I don't know, do something which helps you to just show that you're engaging in this time of worship. So Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So, Father, we don't find this time that easy. Well, some of you might do. I don't find this time that easy, and I don't think many of us do. But we love you. We love to worship you. We love to be in your presence. And we're so grateful that when we choose to, you remind us so gently of who you are, our amazing King, our sovereign King, and our incredibly close Father. Help us. Forgive us when we forget to do this. And help us to keep choosing to offer our worship to you. Amen. Just like to... Hi, Dave and Alison.
Hi. Thank you, Helen. Oh, Helen, come back. Come back. Helen, are you going to hang on for a bit just to pray with us?
Yeah, I'll stay on for a little bit.
Okay, that's great.
Are you going to pray then into that talk?
You go.
I just thought, it just would be, I just really feel like God wants to release some of us who have found it difficult into a blessing experience rather than a dissatisfaction or discomfort, you know, just that thing about the constantly having to do worship online, but just to release some creativity and just a blessing. It's like exchanging all that stuff for joy and for a love of work, to bring that love of worship back where the flame has where it's dimmed and the coal is sort of on the side of the fire on its own fizzling out. So shall we just pray?
Pray for Helen, you mean? It's so good to hear your honesty, Helen.
It absolutely is, yeah.
Helen Hicks, worship leader, is not finding it easy. Well, that makes it feel a bit I'm not so bad after all. So thank you for sharing that. Look, go on, Alison, pray. Pray for a really blessing on us.
Yeah. Well, we just invite you, Lord. Just would you pour your spirit out on us as we reflect honestly on our own place, on our own posture, on our own inner dialogue about this. And we just pray that you would, you would just, we want to exchange the dialogue that we talk to ourselves about that's negative and not helpful. Oh, this is difficult. Oh, I can't be bothered. Oh, not that again. Oh, dissatisfaction, whatever it is. We just want to exchange that. As we commit to changing our posture and be open to receiving a different experience of you and a different experience of worship in the same old place until we can get back together. We just pray, Lord, we just do that exchange. And I just pray that you break the power of like negativity, Lord, where the enemy would just be keep us in that place of dissatisfaction and boredom, whatever it is. Lord, would you just break the power of that over us, Lord? Break those niggly lies that get in as we talk, self-talk, the negative stuff. And I just pray, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit. Lord, would you bring a blessing? Would you release creativity in our own homes, in our own routines, in our own... Would you bring life into those rhythms? Would you even change our practices? Lord, give us ideas. Speak to us in different places. Speak to us in the same place. But just pray that you would just give us a new love for worship and restore that love. Restore that that ability to be able to worship that sometimes is easier when we're all together. And just bring joy and connection in our worship going ahead.
We tend to be too restrained to dance in public when we come to worship, most of us. I don't know. Helen, do you want to do some dancing now?
No. No.
But I just, when we were praying earlier, we just sensed that the Lord is a Lord of the dance, and that it's not just dancing. It's the sort of that vibrant, joyful, physical expression of worship, which he wants to bless us with, something new and fresh, but like Alison was saying, but more. Helen, why don't you pray that over us?
Yeah. Yeah, and the psalm that I read, it says, let us make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
And the sense of just that joy overflowing. Father, the joy of your salvation. Father, restore that joy.
Yeah.
Restore that joy. Restore that joy. And I think there's an invitation as well to enter into his presence with thanksgiving, like this psalm says. So Father, help us to enter into your presence and that gift of joy. We ask for your help in this.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for those times where we see clearly and we can connect with worship easily. And thank you for those times where it's harder, where we have to choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just help us, Father. Help us to overflow with that joy that comes from the knowledge of you, Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, that in times of worship, I think you'd agree, Helen, Alison, that it's when in times of worship, it's not only us giving to him, but that's when we receive from him.
Mm-hmm.
We often see people are healed just whilst they worship, and things change. You know, there's a supernatural dimension to what we do in the natural. So I just sense that wherever you are right now watching this, whether you're at home and on your own or with other people or in the garden, whatever it is, we've been in a posture of worship and thinking about it. Let's just go with open hands with what it is that you need today. How would you like the Lord to bless you? Because He loves to bless you. So are you need a healing? Are you not well? You know, something broken, or you're sick and you need His healing touch? We're going to pray for you now. Are you in need of more work? If you're self-employed or something like that, you need more work. Put your hands out for more work. If maybe you're struggling with your relationships with your spouse or your family or something else, put that relationship before the Lord now as we pray. Maybe you're short of money and you need more money. And I believe the Lord blesses with finance as He blesses with healing. Just, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, but He's just gracious and gives to us. So put your hands out for that as well. So whatever it is, it could be anything. Let's come to Him. We worship You, Lord. We bless You. Just all the things that Helen's been saying. We come to You with thanksgiving and praise. And we open our hands to You and we receive from You. And Lord, I pray now that You will come on the people watching this, on the brothers and sisters in the vineyard and any visitors we go. Would You come with Your healing power right now? Speak healing over many of you right now. Helen and Alison, if you get any specific words, do share them. I pray for a financial blessing over those of you who need that right now. Receive it. I pray for a work blessing over those of you who need work right now. Receive it. I pray a restoration of relationship, forgiveness and rebuilding of marriages and parent and children and friendships and work relationships. I pray that over you, His blessing of relationships right now. I think there's some of you, the students presumably, who are looking at school and university students who are looking at exams, and they, in my mind's eye, you're here and the exam is there ahead of you somewhere in the weeks to come. And in between, there's a whole lot of hurdles. It's not just study, but it's time and space and access to information and peace and all the things that can get in the way. And you just, Lord, I just pray for people who are feeling that coming their way, and the obstacles between them and the exam time, whatever that is. And I just pray Your blessing on them now. Would You show them ways through the next few weeks where they can study and they can work and they can get good sleep and they can get into a place where when they take their exams, they're full of confidence and rest and understanding. Would You smooth that path out for them and show them the way? Would You come with that blessing? I just want to finish with one more prayer, which is, thank you, Helen. Unless you got anything, we'll let you go.
Actually, I might just share a quick picture. I feel like the Lord is just showing me a picture for someone. It could just, of like a lump of clay, and it, for someone it feels like there isn't, they've got no idea what God's doing with them. They can't see where they're being shaped or how it feels a bit pointless and meaningless. And I just feel the Lord's encouragement that he is working and he's doing what he needs to do, and just to trust that he will mold you into the person he wants you to be, even if you can't see what he's doing at this time. So just, I feel like it's the Father's invitation to trust, even when it's unclear.
Amen to that. Amen. Thank you, Helen. So just when we were praying earlier on today and thinking about what God was doing today, we just felt that he wants to do great things. And it's hard to see that when we can't see each other. But where you are and where we are and where everybody is, he can do something in your life. And maybe he's already done it. Maybe he's brought healing to you. Let us know, or blessing to you in some other way. But he can do great things in us and through us, especially as we play into worship. And somebody sent it, reminded us of this verse in Habakkuk chapter 3. So I'm going to read this and pray to you, and then that'll be it. Habakkuk, unless you've got anything.
No.
Habakkuk chapter 3 goes like this. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. And Lord, we pray that you would do great things amongst us right now. And as we begin to come out of the restrictions and the lockdown and re-engage with the world in whatever way it's going to be, we pray that you will do great things and that we can stand in awe as you renew what you do amongst us. We want to turn that verse from Habakkuk into a prayer. We stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them, Lord, in our day. In me, in Alison, in each person online with us, in the people around us. Renew your deeds, we pray. In your time, make them known. In our time, make them known. Remember mercy, Lord. Amen.